Okay, we're here with Steve Clements, longtime head coach of the TJC soccer program, the men's coach, and very well celebrated, first in wins among active coaches, third all-time, two different Hall of Fames, probably more than that I don't know about, seven national championships. Steve, I want to ask you a little bit about your journey in soccer, just where that started and how you got into coaching.
Well, of all things, I was on the first team in the state of Mississippi.
Okay.
Now, that was back, and when I say that, it was it wouldn't be considered a very good level. You know, it was the first team in Mississippi. And, in fact, when I graduated high school, I think there were 14 teams playing in the state of Mississippi.
So, a new sport.
So, yeah, it was a brand new sport. And really, you just did it for fun because you did other stuff. You know, you played football or whatever. You know, you didn't play. It was something to do in the wintertime.
Okay.
You know, because that's when the season was. So, as far as playing, I would say my playing experience would be very limited.
Okay.
And so
kept you in shape.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah, that's right. And it was fun to do. You know, you were out there with your buddies and doing something and whatever. So I enjoyed it, but I didn't play at a very high level. But what I did was I was exposed to a really good coach. We had a guy that had moved in from Virginia. And North Carolina. He left us and went to Virginia. And he actually had been around it. He was a biology teacher, and he kind of helped get it started at the school and whatever. Anyway, so we were exposed to somebody who knew what they were doing and was very passionate about it, made us like it, you know. And so that's
influence on you.
Yeah, no question about it.
Would you say that he's maybe how you got in, or one of the reasons you got into coaching?
He would be one of the reasons, for sure, yeah.
And that was at the high school level. So when did you get into coaching, and just how did that come about?
I got into coaching. I went to school, John, and I was going to be a camp director. I've always been a camp person. And so the coaching was kind of I found out that there's 9 months a year of downtime in camping, you know, if you do summer camping or whatever. So it really kind of ended up, I got a health and kinesiology degree, PE back in the day, and that's what I got. And so it lent itself. I started doing my student teaching. And when I was in college, I was coaching some club soccer.
Okay.
So, and it was
that's
some
where
of the,
it started.
That's right. And it was some of the first, I could say the word soccer ball in air in the same sentence in the town of Starkville, Mississippi.
Okay.
And so I was an expert.
All
and so what it did for me in college, though, was it got me a bunch of free meals. You know, parents would feed you and this. So you get a few home-cooked meals, a place to do your laundry, you know, and all that. So that's kind of – so anyway, I did my student teaching there at Starkville Public Schools.
Okay.
And they asked me to help coach the high school soccer team. So I did that.
Hmm.
And I asked could I also participate with the football as well, you know, because I really liked it. And and I did that. And I was lucky enough to be – at a place that was pretty good at, well, we started the soccer and got pretty decent at it, you know, for that level at that time. And then I was helping with what was a very good high school football program as well. So,
well, talk about your journey in soccer coaching, and where did that lead to?
I went to Meridian Public Schools.
Okay.
They had a job. In fact, we had played them, you know, at Starkville a time or two, but it was the second biggest school in the state. And they had an assistant football / soccer job open. And John, when I went to that interview, I Mac Barnes was the athletic director, who probably taught me more about coaching than any person I've ever been around. Just an outstanding. I was so fortunate and lucky to get a mentor like that at such a young age. I couldn't have been luckier. And so I go and I interviewed for the job. He and I had talked on the phone several times over the summer. And so anyway, when I was actually hired, they were talking to me about how they're going to do this, we're going to do that. And I stopped the assistant superintendent. And I said, well, Mr. Vance, I mean, if I got a shot at this job, it's the way it sounded. It was trending that way in the conversation. He says, Mr. Clements, as far as I know, you're the only applicant for the job. Nobody wanted to be the soccer coach, John. Mississippi in 1990, you know, 89, 88, whatever.
You got in on the ground floor, didn't you?
Yes.
And what a journey it's been for you. So you were there, and then
I became the local expert again.
Exactly.
You know, and then the community college yes. decided to start a program, and I went over there, and I met with them under the auspice that it was what would we do to start a program? Right. And I knew just enough to be dangerous.
Right.
And so I've had a great meeting.
You were
with
prepared
them.
For that, though. You had worked with a club before, and you worked with a team before.
Sure.
You were the man for the job.
I guess so at the time. And so anyway, Meridian Community College. I left that meeting in the same way I had left the other meeting, basically. And they said, "Where would we start to look for a coach?" And I said, "Well, I mean, I don't know that I'm qualified, but I certainly love to give something like this a shot."
Right.
And they said, "Hire the man." And all so right. I got the job. And John, of all things, the first game Meridian Community College ever played, we lost in overtime to Tyler Junior College.
Oh my goodness.
That's no kid.
Wow. And I'm trying to remember who the coach would have been.
Pete
back.
Jones, all right. 1994.
Pete, okay. There's a name from the past.
Yeah.
Pete Jones.
19.
I do remember.
Yeah.
I remember when they practiced out at Lindsay.
That's correct. We used to play them at Lindsay.
Right.
We also played them on this old practice football field
yes.
over here.
Yes. Me and my family went out and watched Pete play some soccer at Lindsay. So,
yeah.
Man, it's an amazing connection. And that leads me right into the next question, because What was your first exposure to Tyler Junior College? And it was the very first game you coached at Meridian.
Yeah.
And what were your first impressions of Pete Jones and the program at Tyler?
Well, I mean, our first trip out here, John, would have probably been, I think we probably came out here in 94. We probably played at Lindsay. And I can recall back in those days, we played out there, but we came over here to the old HPE Center and showered.
Yes.
And so I was exposed
yep.
to the campus.
Yep.
And
oh, yeah.
I was amazed
yes.
at what a beautiful campus and what a really good place. And then through the years, we played them every year. So we were out here every year,
right.
you know. But in 99... we went to the national tournament in Trenton, New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the year before Tyler was going to host.
Okay.
So John Peterson and Tim Drain had flown out to Jersey to get a feel for the hosting a tournament.
Right.
And I kind of met them through that. And, of course, in 2001, Pete had decided to retire.
Okay.
Or 02, I guess it was fall of 01. And then... and so spring of 02, I came on board. So that's the story of how. But anyway, I was always impressed with the college. I was impressed with John and Tim. And
right.
just the atmosphere here was a good environment. You could tell it was collegiate. It was positive. It was, to me, it had all the right ideals and goals.
Exactly.
And so I guess I was at some level jealous whenever you'd come to Tyler. I just felt like they had everything, you know, or they've certainly run the right track.
Well, I know you know this now being here so long as a recruiter, that once you get a young man on this campus or make him aware of what this campus is, there aren't too many people that don't want to be a part of it. It's a
sure.
special place.
Sure.
There's a lot of great people here. But even, you know, in addition to that, it's like a small four-year campus. And we do have an amazing campus, but even more than that, we had great people. And so what has it been like, Steve, all these years being a head coach at a place like TJC?
Well, I've loved it, John. I really have. And I still do. You know, it's just fun to, I've watched the campus change. I've watched the school, I've watched the players change, you know, you watch all, you know, but it's been a great ride, honestly, John. I still love coming to work, and I still love coaching and working with the players and whatnot and students. And, you know, I've come from an old student first kind of,
right.
you know, mentality. And so, you know, I still love it.
We had a chance to talk, you know, a few minutes ago, just getting ready for this interview. And, you know, the impact you can have on young men's lives is pretty profound. And that's really, as you get to the latter part of your career, it's really fun to hear from them, to dialogue with them, and to realize that you've had a big part in preparing them for what they're doing in life. Talk about the impact and the relationships you've developed over the years with your former players.
Well, I hear from about 14 former players a day, I would say, is the average, and that's the truth. I tell people, I told somebody one time, it was a couple summers ago, I told somebody I was talking to, they were talking about a former player had called, and I said, how many people today have talked to somebody from New York City, excuse me, Johannesburg, South Africa, and Democratic Republic of Congo? I mean, you know, who has talked to those? Right. You know, I mean, what kind of, I mean, you know, from Texas has done that today, right. You know, and so I've been overwhelmed with, to me, the relationships have been great. It's just every day you're communicating with those guys, and a lot of those guys, as I was saying before, they help some of our young guys now get jobs when they right. get out of college. It's really become a network.
It's a brotherhood.
It sure. is. It's, there's no question about it. And in fact, I had two that hooked up this week. They hooked up this week, and one of them was showing me the text, and it said, well, he said, you'll be the only person at this convention that can relate to running with 25-pound plates in their hands. You know, and so
right, exactly.
You know, they played in two different schools for me. You
They'd
know,
been in the trenches,
but they had both done the same preseason.
Yes.
So.
That's awesome. Well, you know, I got a long list of accomplishments on my sheet here in Jim's talking the notes about the accomplishments you've had as a coach. But it's no surprise that those have come out of what you just described, this brotherhood that you've cultivated over there. And also assistant coaches, right? You love to train those assistant coaches. To me, that is, you have a profound effect on leadership. And players, that's an amazing thing. But those assistant coaches now are going to continue on your legacy well beyond the days that you're kind of fishing on the lake or whatever you're going to do in a few years, whenever you decide it's time to do something else. But I appreciate that as a coach, as someone who has been about the bigger issues in life. We all want to win, right? And you've done your share of it, and you've been rewarded for that in certain Hall of Fames. But it's so encouraging to me to know, and I think we got a lot of coaches on this campus that are doing the same thing you're doing in different ways. So thank you for what you've done for those players and for those coaches. And so couldn't be happier or more proud of our program in soccer. And it's, you know, it's just exciting to talk to you about not only winning games and championships and Hall of Fames, but even more important, the relationships and the people that you have a chance to impact. So let's shift gears just a little bit and finish this thing up by talking a little bit about your season this year. You guys have had a pretty good start at things. 5-1, I think, right now. You've lost one match down at the Coastal, 1-0, but you're ranked number 10. Talk about the 2023 Apache soccer team.
5-1-1. We tied the other night at Angelina, which, well, that's another subject for another day, but how football, I've said this to every coach I know, how football fought for 1,000 years to get overtime to not have ties. Somehow,
I thought for sure you guys were going to do
PKs. Done away with overtime. Okay. We did away with it overtime this year, and so now we don't break ties.
I was watching, and
so
when the lights went out, I go, wait, what are we doing?
It makes no sense.
I thought for sure you're going
to
go keep playing.
But I'll leave that for higher authorities to decide what's better for us, but anyway, it makes no sense, but that's where we are.
Okay.
And so we ended in a tie.
Right.
And so we're 5-1-1. And in fact, if you look at the polls, my sister was saying the other day, I never look at a poll to the last one, honestly.
Right.
I don't even look at them. I was on the committee for years and I never looked
at
them.
Well, I've got a report on these things. So I know it was 10 versus 9. And it turned out to be a draw. So something's pretty close there. You got teams that are competitive and neither one could gain the edge in regulation time.
But anyway, our team, I like our team, you know, and I like where we're headed. And John, I mean, if you look through the years, our team's have usually done better as the season went on, you know, for the most part. So we hope that we, you know, go along that path again.
Yes.
That's what we're counting on. And we start a little later than everybody, to be honest with you. And that's always worked out good for us. I always feel like we're probably a little fresher at the end.
Correct.
And so
it doesn't make sense if you're peaking or number one in the country right now.
No.
You want to have your best soccer. And this is not easy to do after the long season you guys play, is playing your best soccer in like November. And
we're going to play our best in November.
Yes.
Absolutely. 100%. Yeah. In fact, I always set October 1 as a target date that you want to start seeing some things that are, you know, heading you in the right direction.
Indicators, right?
Yeah, indicators. That's a better word. Thank you. And so anyway, I saw some of those the other night at Angelina. I had a good feeling when I got back on the bus and left. And I thought that's the first. I saw some of the first signs of some things starting to come together that you need to come together to be successful. So,
well, Steve, it's been a pleasure talking to you. I wish you guys nothing but the best. Hopefully, we can get national championship number 8 for Steve and Tyler Apaches. But even if that doesn't happen, I know and everyone that listens to this can know that you're having an impact on this group of young men, and that's an amazing thing, and it's a privilege. It's a privilege to be a part of young men's lives,
no doubt,
as a coach. And no doubt, they look to you for leadership, for mentorship, and it's so cool to see the network of young men and leaders that you've created over the years. So thanks for all that you've done for those men and for this college, and thanks for taking time to talk.
John, thank you very much. Thanks for doing it, and I'm excited about continuing and talking to you.